Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I am Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor, Digital.
Hello, Katie.
Hey, Keith.
Did you have a nice weekend?
Absolutely. Nice long weekend.
This is the first time that we've actually had a discussion longer than, hey, hi, this morning. So this is like a proper good
Yay.
Weekend.
Hey.
Hey. How's it going there, lady? Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we'll be talking about the biggest news of the day, the 2019 Academy Award nominations.
Yes! Plus, we've got chart news about Ariana Grande, Normani, Halsey, Future, and more.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts. So, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, today, the nominations were announced for the 2019 Oscars.
Were you up early listening or watching, Katie?
No, I was not.
I set my alarm, and I was actually up before it, and then I fell back asleep right before they started.
Really?
And then I woke up like a half hour. I missed the live version of it, but I did watch the stream on YouTube.
Oh, very
nice. I actually
watched
the announcement stream.
So it was Kumail Nanjiani and
Tracee Ellis Ross.
Tracee Ellis Ross announcing.
They did a great job.
Well, they're great people.
Yes. So, well, lots of great people can also do terrible jobs at this sort of thing.
Sorry, Tiffany Haddish.
For
instance.
The pair of them this morning, I wondered how much of it was scripted because it seemed very off the cuff. But I wondered, in a situation like this, I wondered if it just seemed off the cuff and it was completely scripted.
They're just that good.
They're just that good.
Right. It's probably a combination of the two.
Yep.
Kind of like our show.
Yeah. Oh, well, we are not Emmy and Academy Award winning / nominated people yet. Grammy, we're coming for you. Best spoken word recording.
With those 91st Academy Award nominations, we learned that A Star is Born was among the leaders with 8 nods, including Lady Gaga for Best Actress, Bradley Cooper for Best Actor, Sam Elliott for Supporting Actor, who did not get the Globe nomination, so that was
kind of a
nice bit of news, Cooper for Best Adapted Screenplay, as well as Best Cinematography and Sound Mixing nominations, and he also got a Director nomination, plus Best Picture, plus Best Original Score for Shallow.
He was not nominated for Director.
He wasn't?
Bradley Cooper was not nominated for Best Director.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Never mind. I had a not-so-fun tidbit in front of me.
You were reading this all well, and then you just suddenly decided to add Director
in. I know, because
I
thought that Director was part of it. But sorry, Bradley. Didn't mean to rub it in any further.
That would be a surprise this morning that he was not nominated
By the way,
for Director.
Exclusive to Pop Shop Podcast. No, just joking. This did not happen. Among the other leaders were Roma from Alfonso Cuarón and the costume drama The Favourite, both of which got 10 nominations each, followed by the Dick Cheney biographical film Vice, and other multiple nominees included Black Panther with 7, Spike Lee's Black Klansman with 7, Black Panther with 7 again because my intro was a hot mess, and the Queen biopic Bohemian Rhapsody with 5.
Black Rhapsody.
Yeah, let me add it all together.
The Rhapsody clan.
But now, before we get like super into it, I figured the biggest category that we care about is best original song. So I thought, break that one down. Yeah. Sorry, for the Pop Shop podcast, we care about best original song. So I already mentioned Shallow, which is Gaga and Cooper's duet from A Star Is Born. And it was written by Gaga, Mark Ronson, Anthony Rosamondo, and Andrew Wyatt is up for Best Original Song, as well as All the Stars from Kendrick Lamar and SZA, of course, off the Black Panther soundtrack. That was written by Kendrick, Al Shucks, Soundwave, SZA, and Anthony Tiffith. Then we have Diane Warren's I'll Fight for RBG, which was performed by Jennifer Hudson. And then we have The Place Where Lost Things Go from Mary Poppins Returns, sung by Emily Blunt. And David Rawlings and Gillian Welch's When a Cowboy Trades His Spurs for Wings from The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which was performed by Tim Blake Nelson and Willie Watson.
Okay, question.
Oof. Yes.
For All the Stars.
Yes.
Did you get the nominated writers from the Academy press release?
I got it from Billboard.com. Did we have it wrong or something?
Well, I'm confused because we have Kendrick Lamar and then Al Shucks, who is not listed on the Academy nomination list. So maybe that's a code name. And then Soundwave, SZA, and Anthony Tiffith. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different people. But the Academy has Mark Spears, Kendrick, Anthony Tiffith, and Solana Rowe, which is SZA.
Right.
So there's someone,
a discrepancy there.
Yeah, so I think part of this, so I don't, we're just
going to. The Oscars has rules about how many people they'll credit, right? Yeah, so maybe this is a matter of, like, we credited everybody who was actually involved in it, whereas the Oscars for the win, it will only be the people listed there in the Academy nominations.
Yeah, the people I just said.
But Kendrick and SZA are among those people.
Yes.
So that's great.
This was not Keith just trying to play correct Katie. It was more about, like, whoa, wait a
Who's
second.
Who's going to actually be up on that stage if that song
Who wins? Of those five, and it's clearly Al Shucks or Soundwave got left out in the cold, apparently.
I think Al Shucks did because his birth name is Alexander Shuckberg, and you did not say that.
So Soundwave must be Mark Spears. I believe that is correct. I wikied that this morning. I think Mark Spears is Soundwave.
All right. Well, there we go.
Sorry, guys. We just had a... this is an interesting category because generally the most nominees you can have for one song is 4, and that's under extreme circumstances. But generally, they only want really like 1 or 2 people nominated.
I remember there being a scandal during when Beyonce's Listen was nominated from Dreamgirls.
Yeah.
And she is a co-writer, but there was debate over whether she should be listed as a writer.
And she wasn't.
And she wasn't.
Yeah,
so
she evidently wrote the least amount.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about some things that we noticed in these nominations. Some fun facts.
Fun facts. Hot takes. Do you want to go first? Or you want me to?
I could go first.
All right.
One thing I wanted to bring up was from the fun little sidebars that the Academy Awards sends out. We all know that A Star Is Born has been made before. There are now 4 versions of it. And the series in general has a total, all of these films together, has 26 Academy Award nominations.
Okay.
That's pretty incredible. The acting nominations for Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga are the 3rd for both the lead characters after Frederick March and Janet Gaynor in 1937 and James Mason and Judy Garland in 1954.
Okay.
Meaning we're leaving out Miss Barbara and Kris Kristofferson. They did not get acting nominations.
Yeah, that film wasn't totally warmly received.
Right.
But it did get some Academy Award nominations.
Yeah, they all have. That's what's incredible. So if you want to get Academy Award nomination, just remake this film again. I think that's what we learned
we'll
here.
We'll see you in 20 years or 30, possibly.
Exactly.
So, Millie Bobby Brown, if you're looking
for
a role.
Yeah, I was trying to think of, I was like, JoJo Siwa? And your ponytail?
Just find anyone on like a very young, tweeny, preteen-leaning Disney show. If that. Is there like a newborn show with like babies rolling around?
Yeah, right. That's what we really need. We need like the baby from Modern Family or something.
Speaking of A Star Is Born, Lady Gaga is nominated for Best Actress. But she's also nominated for Best Original Song.
Yes.
The Oscars noted, and this was something I think other folks would have noted, she is the 2nd person to receive acting and song nominations for the same film, Mary J. Blige was the first with her nominations for Mudbound.
Just last year.
Just last year. And also, a fun fact that I dug up this morning, and this is not an exhaustive list, but it's a fairly short, not a Peter Farrelly short, but a...
Oh, my.
Fairly short.
Yes.
Peter Farrelly is also nominated this year for an Oscar. Can you name, Katie, anyone that had a number one album on the Billboard 200, a number one single on the Hot 100, mm-hmm. and then later got an Academy Award nomination for acting?
Well, just because
aside from Lady Gaga,
mentioned her, I'm going to start with Barbara Streisand as an option. No.
Because her when she won for Funny Girl, mm-hmm. she hadn't yet had a number one on the Hot 100 chart.
Okay, my next guess is Cher.
Nope, Cher's never had a number one album.
Ooh, that's shocking. Okay. I don't think, no, she didn't get nominated.
I'll give you a hint. We literally just talked about her about...
I was going to say Beyonce.
It's like 30 seconds ago.
It's not Beyonce.
Beyonce's never been nominated for
an acting
award.
That's what I was thinking. That's where she was rolling around in my head.
Okay, it was after Beyonce, but before we started talking about Cher. Like, a minute ago.
I mean...
Mary J. Blige.
I was going to say, but, like, that doesn't seem fun. Well, it is fun. I was thinking, like, she already has this other thing that we just talked about. Okay, so Mary J.
So yeah, Mary had four number one albums on the Billboard 200, plus a number one on the Hot 100 with Family Affair before she was nominated for the Academy Award for acting.
Okay.
Now, if you sort of reverse that around, you know, someone like Diana Ross, it's squishy because she had a... number one single on the Hot 100 before, as just Diana Ross, without the Supremes, with Ain't No Mountain High Enough, in, like, I think it was 1970, before she was nominated for Lady Sings the Blues.
Okay.
Now, on the Billboard 200 albums chart, she had number ones with the Supremes, when they were billed as Diana Ross and the Supremes, mm-hmm. but that was still really just the Supremes.
Right.
So, it doesn't really count in the same sort of way. You know, someone like Frank Sinatra, the Hot 100 didn't exist when he had his Oscar win.
Right. So but if it had, he surely would have had one.
If we look at the charts that came before the Billboard 200 and before the Hot 100, Frank definitely had number ones on the charts that sort of were their ancestors back in the 50s.
Okay.
Before he won his Oscar for, I think it was From Here to Eternity, I believe.
Sounds right.
Basically, the point is Lady Gaga is in a very sort of unique position where she established herself as a chart-topping number one music superstar and then, you know, became a Oscar-nominated actor.
Yes.
Or, you know, I mean, obviously Cher is a superstar, but she didn't have that number one album.
Mm-hmm.
Even with Sonny and Cher, their album peaked at number two, like they're based
that's
on
crazy.
Number two. But anyway, that's a fun fact from me.
It is indeed. Well, I figured I would also throw a quick quiz Keith into here. What do you think about that?
Who knows? One of my facts could be your answer.
Well, okay. So we both looked at the sidebar and sidebars that were provided by the Academy about the Oscar nominations. And one of the fun facts was that Bradley Cooper is the 15th person to direct himself to an acting nomination. So that stood out to me because I'm like, who are these other 14 people?
And I didn't look at the other 14. I mean,
no.
I can guess maybe.
Yes, that's what I would like you to do. Oh. There's a few that have done it multiple times.
Am I just starting to guess?
Yeah, just throw me one.
Oh, Warren Beatty.
Yes, he has done it twice. Do you know what the films are?
Reds.
Yep.
And something else.
Heaven Can Wait, which he actually co-directed with Buck Henry. But
you can co-direct something. That's unusual.
Indeed.
I mean, obviously the Coen brothers do it.
Yes.
Barbara Streisand did not.
There are no ladies on this list. Okay. I will give you that hint.
So wait, so you have to be nominated for Best Director?
No, that's what I mean. You just told me Bradley is not nominated for Best Director. This is just people who directed themselves to an acting nomination.
I see. Oh, yeah. Robert Redford?
No.
Okay. Kevin Costner.
Yes.
Okay.
For Dances with Wolves.
These have to be like actors who also direct, which is unusual.
Directed themselves in
directed
a starring
themselves.
Role, really.
You want to give me a hint?
Sure. There's one who has a couple who actually has a really close relationship with Bradley Cooper. Sort of a mentor character to him. That doesn't help you?
No.
Do you know who was supposed to direct A Star Is Born before Bradley Cooper?
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Okay. So Clint Eastwood did it for Unforgiven. Mm-hmm. He did it for the boxing movie.
Yep.
What was that called?
Million Dollar Baby. That's it. Just those two.
Okay.
Yep. And then I would say there's like what is considered the greatest movie of all time?
The greatest movie of all time?
Yeah.
Oh, like, Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
Like Orson Welles directed himself to Citizen Kane and to anything else?
Just that one for Orson Welles. Okay, you did a really good job, I feel like. I mean, I can
the other ones are probably more obscure.
Well, so like one of the biggest.
The people listening might be terrified.
The biggest actor director combo who has three of these.
Am I missing it?
It's an older example, known for his Shakespeare films.
Known for his Shakespeare films.
Laurence Olivier.
Really?
So he did it with Hamlet, Henry V, and Richard III. There's another Shakespeare example on here, though. More recent.
Really?
Yeah. Who's the guy who basically took Laurence Olivier's mantle as, like, Shakespeare guy? Kenneth Branagh. Henry V.
Oh, I would have never guessed that.
Okay. So I can just give you a quick rundown of the other ones real quick. Roberto Benigni for Life is Beautiful.
Right.
Denzel Washington for Fences. That one surprised me.
Oh.
Woody Allen for Annie Hall. Charlie Chaplin for The Great Dictator. Billy Bob Thornton for Sling Blade. Robert Duvall for The Apostle. Ed Harris for Pollock. And of the people I just listed, two of them actually won and out of the whole group.
And Ed Harris did.
No. The winners were...
Out of the whole 15, only two won.
Won the acting Oscar.
Clint Eastwood didn't win for Unforgiven.
That's correct.
Kevin Costner did not win for Dances with Wolves. probably a Laurence Olivier role?
One of them, yes.
One of them.
Hamlet.
Sure.
The other one... Very famous, like, Oscar moment speech.
Oh, Roberto Benigni.
Yes.
Roberto Benigni. Well, thank you for enduring for that
Quiz Keith.
Okay, well, let's move on.
This will be the last one because you stole one of my other ones.
Oh, this is my last
yes.
one? Well, I can combine them. When I was watching the nominees this morning, a name popped out that I knew was from the theater world, and I thought it was kind of fun. Hmm. Jeff Whitty is nominated for adapted screenplay for Can You Ever Forgive Me? And he is a Tony Award winner for Best Book of a Musical for Avenue Q. And other fun fact, Diane Warren, friend of the podcast, Diane Warren, is nominated for her 10th Oscar nomination this year. Not 10 all in this year, but 10 in total. She has her 10th nomination. They've all been in the Best Original Song category. Mm-hmm. This year, she's nominated for I'll Fight from RBG, which I saw just last week.
Oh, cool.
Great film.
Yeah.
This is
the documentary about Ruth Bader Ginsburg versus the narrative film that's currently out about Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
On the Basis of Sex.
Two separate films.
RBG is also nominated for Best Documentary Feature.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, Diane is nominated for I'll Fight, which is the end credit song performed by Jennifer Hudson in RBG. And this is her 10th nomination. She has yet to win. Now, I believe she is the most nominated person in this category without a win.
Mm.
And interestingly, if you believe forecasters,
mm-hmm.
this seems like this award could probably go to Lady Gaga and the rest of her co-writers for Shallow, for A Star Is Born, which means Diane will possibly lose to a woman that she helped get her first Oscar nomination for. Lady Gaga's first nomination was for Best Original Song for Till It Happens to You from The Hunting Ground, mm-hmm. which was co-written with Diane Warren.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
I think Diane will be okay with that. She'll probably cheer Gaga on.
Oh, I'm sure. She'll be the first person on her feet.
We've talked about this a lot on this podcast, but it seems that an element of the Best Original Song prize is how a song is used in the film.
And Shallow is a key part.
Exactly. Shallow is so integral to the plot of the film. And this is like multiple times now that that Diane Warren has been nominated for these great songs, but that are end credit songs.
Yeah.
And then it's just not as integral to the film.
No.
Yeah.
Well, All the Stars is also an end credit song.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen the ballad of, what is it?
Buster Scruggs. It's on Netflix now. If you'd like to.
Was it ever in a theater?
No. I think it was.
It had to have been
in order to be nominated.
So it was probably in a theater for three days.
A weekend or something.
Something stupid like that. and it's dumb. Okay, anyway. Anything else?
Well, I do want to say that the 2019 Oscar ceremony will broadcast live on February 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on ABC, and so far still has no host. Just FYI. Sounds like they're not going to have one.
We'll probably have more thoughts on the nominations in the next few weeks before the Academy Awards.
Indeed.
Okay, well, let's talk about some big chart news this week. First up, Ariana Grande collects her fifth number one on the Pop Songs Airplay chart, as Thank You Next climbs 2-1 in its 11th week on the tally. She previously led the list with God is a Woman, No Tears Left to Cry, Side to Side featuring Nicki Minaj, and Problem featuring Iggy Azalea. Meanwhile, Grande's previous single, Breathin', which peaked at number 2, is still in the top 10. It dips from 4 to 6. And Ariana's brand new single, Seven Rings, debuts at number 30. And the track premiered just last Friday. I believe it was last Friday.
Yes.
And interpolates a rather iconic song, My Favorite Things, from the Broadway musical, The Sound of Music.
Which caused Keith and I to fall down a rabbit hole
of pop songs that sample or interpolate songs
from The Sound of Music, which you can go to billboard.com to see an article that...
Did we end up doing one?
Yeah, Rania wrote the article about it.
So aside from... Okay, so there's obviously the Gwen Stefani track.
We basically had five, and it included the Ariana Grande songs. We had four in addition to Seven Rings.
Oh. We'll go to website.
Go to billboard.com and see that article. And actually, it's pretty fitting that Ariana chose to sample My Favorite Thing, since she is a former Broadway star and noted musical fan.
Let's get Ariana back on Broadway.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing. That's definitely like third act Ariana.
Oh, she's, you know, at this rate, she's gonna be like she could be like a Gaga, you know, just find the right role and, you know, just get your Tony. I think she should start with a Tony.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because she's such a musical kid
at heart. She can do a one-woman show and then take it, they could film it and make it a movie too.
No, there's weird rules now where they can't, you know, Bruce Springsteen he got a special Tony though.
Right, right.
That doesn't really count as well. Anyway, sorry, Ari, call me. Okay, so staying with the Pop Songs chart, Sam Smith and friend of the podcast Normani team up for a number 32 debut with Dancing with a Stranger. It's the 11th entry on the chart for Smith and the second for Normani as a soloist, who saw her first hit, Love Lies, with Khalid, hit number one last year. Dancing with a Stranger also debuts at number 33 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
Love this song, by the way. Have you gotten a chance to listen?
I like it too.
It's really good.
I think it has the right amount of kind of like simmer.
I appreciate that, yes.
Like, I think, and it's different enough from Love Lies, where you don't feel like it's just like a knockoff of your previous hit.
Right, but it has a similar vibe
in
the sense of it being a little like mid-tempo, sort of, but
you don't get tired of
successful
it.
For her.
Yeah. Next up, Halsey's Without Me returns to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart as it bumps last week's winner, Post Malone and Swae Lee's Sunflower, down to number two. This is the second week atop the list for Without Me, as it previously was tops in the week before Sunflower bloomed at number one.
I like all this, like, musical chairs at number one on Hot 100. It's fun.
By the way, Sunflower is from the Academy Award-nominated film Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Golden Globe winning.
Yeah, technically the name of this song is Sunflower, parenthetical, Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Posty says the word Spider-Verse anymore.
No, it's just, we talked about this. It's just like The Weeknd.
The Weeknd with 50 Shades of Grey.
Earned it.
That's dumb.
Yep.
It's just a way to promote the name of the movie.
Yep.
Okay, meanwhile, further down the Hot 100 list at number 9, Post Malone gets his sixth top 10 hit as Wow jumps 11 to 9 in just its fourth week on the list. The surprise release track came out just before Christmas time. Lastly, over on the Billboard 200 albums chart, A Boogie with the Hoodies, Hoodie Season, spends a second week at number one, leading a super quiet chart. How quiet? Well, nothing debuts in the top 40 for the third week in a row. A lack of debuts is pretty standard in the post-holiday haze, when few big albums are released in the weeks after Christmas. But all that should change next week when industry forecasters expect Future's new album, Future Hendrix Presents The Wizard. There's a lot of vowels that are missing in those
lack
words.
Lack of vowels.
They expect that to debut at number one on the Billboard 200 next week. Right now, the forecast is like around 110,000 equivalent album units. So that's
it's Future. He'll definitely just debut at number one.
Most likely. Future.
And then maybe the week after he'll put out another album.
as he has done. And now it's time for the chart stat of the week. Friday night, you and your boys went out to eat. Then they hung out, but you came home around three. 20 years ago this week, Whitney Houston hit number one on the Billboard Dance Club Songs chart with one of her signature songs, It's Not Right, But It's Okay.
Great song.
The track topped the chart for 3 weeks, beginning with the January 23rd, 1999 dated list, thanks to a set of dance mixes commissioned for the track, which was originally a mid-tempo number, as heard in its original album version on Houston's My Love Is Your Love album. Now, the most iconic and popular remix of the bunch was the Thunderpuss mix of the track, which jettisoned everything from the original track except for Houston's vocals. Thunderpuss, which was a DJ and production duo of Chris Cox and Barry Harris, refashioned the track into an epic tribal anthem, which continues to be popular today.
I plan to listen to it the minute we are done recording.
Bum, 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 bum. Cue the drums! And if you're a fan of RuPaul's Drag Race, you are familiar with this song because it was used quite spectacularly in the finale episode a couple seasons ago when Sasha Velour had like the most epic lip sync to it. I'll show Katie. Have you seen this before?
No, I have not.
Oh, girl, girl, girl. I will show you. In 2017, Cox told The Fader that when they met Houston for the first time, it was following the recording of the VH1 Divas Live TV concert special in April of 1999. So after the song had already hit number one and after it had become like even popular on the radio, it wasn't just a club thing. It was a huge radio hit and a huge international hit, especially in the UK. He says they went to the after party, and when they met her, she said, "So you're Thunderpuss." He says, quote, "She loved it. She was really cool and gracious. She was really appreciative and recognized the impact it had." It's Not Right, But It's Okay was one of Houston's 13 number ones on the Dance Club Songs chart, joining such other leaders as I Want to Dance with Somebody, So Emotional, Queen of the Night, and I'm Every Woman.
Dude, just so many good songs.
That's just the tip of the iceberg
I'm
there.
I'm obsessed with her.
So there you have it. 20 years ago this week, Whitney Houston hit number one on the Dance Club Songs chart, thanks to a lot of help from Thunderpuss with It's Not Right, But It's Okay. It's not right, but it's okay. I'm gonna make it anyway. Pack your bag up and leave. Don't you dare come running back to me. It's not right, but it's okay.
Oh, this makes me sad because we're approaching Grammy season, which of course is when Whitney passed.
It was literally the day before.
Yeah. In the hotel where Clive Davis hosts his party every year. Clive Davis, her mentor. Oh, it's so sad. It was such a sad time. I love her so much.
Well, let's focus instead on the incredible memories that we have of Whitney at her best.
Yes.
Including, I mean, if you just go Google Whitney Houston performing on the Grammy Awards, there's an incredible bodyguard number she did. Just go Google Whitney.
Did I tell you this already? I have a friend who was at the Super Bowl where she sang the national anthem.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Her dad's a football player, so that was why she was a child at a Super Bowl. But, like, oh my God. I can't even imagine being in that space.
Did you ever get to see Whitney live in any capacity?
No. And she was my favorite as a kid. Like, I was obsessed with her as a child. It's funny. I saw, like, a lot of my favorites. I saw Paula Abdul live, and my dad, like, took me to concerts and whatnot. Never Whitney.
I never saw Whitney either. Not even in like a one-off capacity.
Right.
I think part of that was she was not like my diva. You know, she wasn't like Madonna or Janet. I mean, I love obviously Whitney, but it was just a little bit different. And so she did tour in my lifetime, but I just never saw her. And just like I never saw Michael Jackson. And I think there's a whole swath of people that just never saw Whitney live, never saw Michael live. And we have them, luckily we have them forever captured on video and YouTube. Yeah. But
I'd love to be in the same room as that voice, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what song should we go out on?
feels like something Whitney.
Some other Whitney song that is not the Thunderpuss remix of It's Not Right, But It's Okay.
It feels like maybe we could go out on like a fun note and do I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Sure.
All right.
See you guys next time.
Bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.